Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I want to hear you on this one. This is my first single that I ever came out with. First one I ever wrote. Hope you like it.
Got a secret no one knows. Tucked away where no one goes. Deep inside your heart, tearing you apart. Hide the pain in all you do. Feel the shackles binding you. Heavier than stone. But you are not alone. When you'll then look around and you'll see I am with you. Look to me and you'll see I will be there to guide. Take my hand and I can lead you on. For you know
got to say this while you're standing. Scott Bernard from Louisiana all the way to Nashville and then over here. Guitar. And on bass from Pascagoula, Mississippi, Danny Myrick. And from Waycross, Georgia, all these guys are the best in Nashville, and he's no exception. This is Will Denton on drums. Go ahead and have a seat. I got to tell you, I want to do this next song. My great-grandma lived to be 100 years old, and she had three sons who were in World War II. And when they were gone, they would write back to her. And she kept a diary, and just a couple years ago, I read through her diary. And she used to say, I can't wait till y'all come home because I just love being in the kitchen when y'all are home eating. You know, her worst fear is that one of her sons wouldn't come home. And one of her worst fears was that a car from the Army would drive down their mile-long country driveway and somebody would step out and give them a letter that said, you know, your son fought valiantly, but he didn't make it home. And so I'm reading this and tears are running down my face. And I thought, I've got to write a song about this. So I put it on my last record. And some folks from the Army called and they said, we've just heard this song and we want to do a video for it so that we can send it over to the troops overseas to help cheer them along. That way we know we're still... So we did, and then they invited us to the Pentagon, and we went to the Pentagon, and we're just in the middle of the Pentagon in the courtyard of the Pentagon, and we're playing praise and worship songs and singing, and all of a sudden windows are starting to open up, and people are looking out, and people are coming outside with their hands up, and it was... We weren't armed or anything. We were just singing, you know. And so they came out, and after we were done, one of the guys from the Army came up to me and said, you know, I've been here for a long time, and you never hear God's name raised up in here because it's just kind of a sad, dreary place to work. It's pretty heavy. And he said, just with tears in his eyes, he said, I've been praying for something like this to happen for 25 years.
Welcome to your place. This is Starla, and we're going to be listening tonight to a recorded service from Pastor Lee Stevens on relationships. Bear with us as we try to figure out what's happening with our new computer setup and getting everything to work out. That was unplanned, the program that you just heard. Tonight we're bringing to you the message we tried to share with you last week, and we welcome your comments and questions at the end of our show. So let's try this again. Pastor Lee Stevens from the Sanctuary of Nolensville. Well, folks, I'm sorry about that, but I don't guess it's going to play, and I guess we'll just do an impromptu like we did last week. Blog Talk Mom, you with me?
I am. I'm telling you.
This is crazy. Bill has a new computer, and I'm guessing it doesn't have the same stuff. His other computer was just maxed out. It had all the bells and whistles and also Windows XP, and we know that Windows XP isn't working anymore. So, do you have something you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, I can tell you I'm doing the same thing with my computer because I realized, I don't know how I missed it, that XP was no longer supported, and so we're all in the market for it. All of you that are listening that want to sell a computer, or we would love for you to raise your hand and share that with us. And I have been looking, and people have advised me it's best to get a new one, but I see that it's awkward learning the new ways to use it, isn't it, Sister Starla?
It most certainly is. Well, Bill had to get me a new computer for this very program, and I still haven't learned it. I really miss my old one. I don't miss how slow it was, but I knew how to work it. This one is just a little bit different. I don't like
now
change.
None of us do, and especially at my age, I think it gets even more difficult. But I was told that if we would go with the new one, that it would be a lot easier to adjust to the different changes that we'll have to adjust to. But then another person explained to me that there's, like I've always used Windows and Windows Office, so to switch to another program that didn't use that would be very difficult, so I'm going to follow suit with that. And how are you? And I know that while Bill is about to have a birthday just right around the corner.
He is. Yes, he is. Next Thursday, November the 6th. Not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday.
So everybody that's listening, wish Wild Bill a wonderful happy birthday, and y'all just have a super good time. What are y'all going to do? You going to go out and have a big birthday cake?
Well, probably. We usually get together with the kids, and he usually has me make, at some point during his birthday, make homemade pizza. So
okay. My best memory about birthday cakes is that I would eat all the icing off of it, so the kids would get
Wild Bill remembers that very thing. He has shared with me a few times, so that really stuck with him too.
Well, I will share something if you haven't planned to go another direction. One of the interesting things that came into my life this week, I was with a minister and also a Bible teacher for one of the largest churches, one of the largest Baptist churches in Pearl, Mississippi. And he was sharing with me that a lady in the church, in his class, had mentioned a book. It's called Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. T-R-A-C-K-S, Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. It's by John Claypool. I'm halfway through. It's very easy to read. I just have not had, I worked, and I didn't have the opportunity to read but half of it. But it's the whole idea of it is living and growing through grief. And his child, Brother Claypool's daughter had died of leukemia, and he approaches things from a very interesting perspective, in that we, just like this program, we would probably jump to the conclusion that it didn't work, that, you know, that it, we tried something and it failed. But he brings out in the book that if we've done the best and we've done what we, you know, we can't just be callous or negligent. But if we are living for God and we are trying and we're doing our part, then we can trust and totally rest in the fact that God is in control. He's always in control. He can make more out of nothing than we think that we make out of something. I'm not wording that as beautifully as he did in the book, but one of the illustrations, he quoted a man that was talking about the Dead Sea. And all teachers at one time or another usually use that illustration that the Sea of Galilee is beautiful and it's full of fish and it's wonderful because the water goes in and then the water flows out. But with the Dead Sea, it just goes in and it doesn't go out, so nothing can live in it. It's called the Dead Sea. But he said all around the Dead Sea, there's something called potash, P-O-T-A-S-H. And he said there is so much of it that it would completely fertilize the entire earth. If you could take it out of there and put it on the earth, it would bring life. And he said the illustration is that with God, when no matter what it looks like to us, no matter what pain, what loss, no matter what, it is life in God. You know, the Bible says he died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we can rest in what the things that we think are totally just nothing, that there's life in it. And if it can't get out, then it can always go up. And that was one of the illustrations he used, that no matter where we are, what we're going through, what pain, whatever, as we look up to the Lord in glory to him, in praise, and that's why one of the illustrations of why praise is so powerful, because it goes directly into the throne of God, and that's where all power is. That's where all strength comes from. That's where all deliverance and all beauty and resurrection and redemption, it all comes from him. And so we rest in that and we trust in that. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And as he explained the different steps of grief that he went through with his child, and yet that he knew that there was, without trying to, the regular, you know, he knew how to preach. He was a preacher. He was a minister, a pastor. But it was deeper than that. It was more real than that. And I know that as I read it, the times of grief that I've experienced, And being as old as I am, I've got the gift of hindsight. Somebody told me one time, you got the gift of hindsight. But when you look back and see where he brought, you know, where he's brought us from, and know that all of it was good. And I talk with Joy Bell sometimes, and she has a beautiful way of expressing that. And she seems to have such a deep understanding of that very fact, that what we think is the end of the road may be the very beginning of everything that we've ever hoped for. And I just wanted to share that. I don't know. I know you mentioned some things last week about the witness to your next-door neighbor and how then later that they had the faith to cry out to God and a miracle took place, that the children weren't destroyed. So I just wanted to share that, and if anybody wanted to call in and add something to that, there are other things that I've read this week that I can certainly share.
Well, we have Wild Bill. Wild Bill, how are you doing?
Well, if I had any hair left, I think I'd pull it out trying to figure out what's going on with the computer. But it's more than one change. It's really funny many of you know, I used to drag race cars. And one time I got this big idea to change the engine, the transmission, the rear end, all the electronics and everything, the fuel system and everything, all at one time. And I had a race shop helping me do it, so it made sense to me that they would know exactly, you know, what I needed to have done to make it run faster than it ever had before. But the reason I mention that is because instead of having something to use as a reference to work from, it was all new. And so it took three times as long to get everything all to work together than it would have if I'd have just changed one thing, one system, went out, ran it a couple of weeks, saw what it was doing, and then worked off of that with the systems that we already knew what was there. And I think sometimes in living for God, we look at people and we think, you know, wow, why is not more happening that you can see on the surface? You know, why is it that some people seem to have such a grasp of things and some people don't? But the part of that is that, you know, God will just overhaul. He makes us a new creature. I'm not trying to go away from that. But in that process, as you talk about, Joy Bells has such a huge grasp of knowledge on, it's step by step. It's that journey. It's that walk. It's that race. It's that the ups and downs, the mountains and the valleys that goes along with it. And in this situation with the computer, what we ran into was I use a program that's free. It's called Audacity. It's a digital recording program. I've used it for years for the radio show, and but my hard drive went out in my computer, so I'm having to redo everything. So I found the best bargain, and the best bargains out there are actually refurbished computers. For all you people that's got XP, actually the what's changed in the systems, even the smaller, older systems that's got the Windows 7 on it, are so much more advanced than what we have. You can get one of those refurbished computers for, you know, just $200 or $300. And but anyway, so I had this audacity to change. Plus, I'm changing from XP to Windows 7, and something has changed. I keep changing our studio setup and everything on the Blog Talk page. So last week, I thought I had everything uploaded, spent all the time dissecting in little segments because it only lets you put up, you know, 8 or 9 minutes at a time. And I thought, man, I got this good. It's all there. And then we saw what happened last week. And then this week, I went in, I increased the volume on everything. I found a thing where I could put amplification on it to make it loud. And, I mean, on my computer, it was blasting out there. It sounded good. But as we just saw, it didn't work out that way. And I don't know about you, but how many things in life have you had that you thought was going to work out a certain way, and it didn't? You know, your logic and applying your mind to it and thinking about even trying to do things that you think are pleasing to God, especially when you have other people involved. Because if you want to get confusion in something, go from one to two people, and I don't know what it is, but somehow another confusion comes in. And you add three or four more people, and it's like, wow, how did they think that's what I said? You know, how did they miss from this going completely over there? And so I look at these things with the program. YouTube used to really get to me. And I was sitting there thinking, I thought, you know, the only reason I've been trying to play that recording, that message on there, is because we have a brother that's changed jobs temporarily, and he's having to be out on the road. He's business service. He asked me to record those and play them on the show. And I got thinking, maybe God's wanting him to not fall back on this, but to look at trying to find something different where he can get back home and hear the surface itself. I'm not saying that's what it is, but who knows? You know, we're dealing with a God who knows everything, that he works situations and problems from both ends. He's not limited. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by our knowledge. He's not even limited by the things that are our limitations. He can help us to do more than what we could ever do within ourselves. He can put anointing into our life. And so with thinking about all this, I can tell you that even though our brain is just about fractured trying to figure out what to try next on this, the other part of that is that I'm, you know, I heard the show again last week. I listened to it. I was like, you know, wow, that was a pretty cool show. And I kind of posted some things on Facebook for people to go to it and listen, you know, how it looked like we had a situation where we had a bunch of broken eggs and God made an omelet out of it. You know, with all the situations that was happening in Blog Talk Mom's life and the things that Starla shared, and you know, we don't ever know. And I love the fact of brothers and sisters living for God. I had posted something on Facebook the other day where it amazes me how people can openly share how they're doing something in sin. I mean, things that they know is disobedience of what God wants in their life. And the situation all of a sudden has put them into a place where something drastic is going to happen. I mean, we're talking about their life is going to be changed from now on because of what's happening at this point. And they're saying, you know, well, I'm just so glad that I know God's in control of all this, and he's going to make it all work out just like it's supposed to. And I'm like, really? Did you really put that on there? Do you really think that you can do wrong and be rewarded with right? Do you think that you can do the things that you know are not right and have accountability that comes from that and think that God's not going to place accountability there? But when I posted that, I had another pastor that responded and reminded me of my life, how that I was running from God for so many years. I had grown up in a Christian home, and I should have known the difference in what was right and what was wrong and the things that God wanted to do in my life. I should have had some taste of that and how I was so into what was going to be the next fun thing I could do. You know, what was going to be the next race? What was going to be the new electronic thing that I could put into my car to play with, either a new stereo system or something to make it go a little faster or maybe some new wheels or something. It was just all in the moment. But all those things turned out to be empty. Even when I won an NHRA points championship, and the next year when I qualified to go to the track and I actually won enough points that I went as the top in the top three for one track, and I think I was representing number four in another track. I could have represented either one of these tracks at the bracket finals down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Even with that success and what I was doing, there was an emptiness there. It wasn't something at last. They had my name posted up on the towers at these racetracks. But guess what? Every 5 years, the names rotate down and the dates change, and then all of a sudden your name's not there anymore. You got the trophies that you can bring home. You got the checks for where you won the prize money. But once you cash that check and the money's spent, it's gone. After a while, the trophies are just something that gets in the way. And it seems like every time you move, you knock pieces off of them. You know, it's just, it doesn't have the same value as what it did before. And so I appreciate how someone reminded me how that the grace of God is not limited to those that do good, but the grace of God is there for those that don't do good, that don't do well, that don't lock into the things of God, and that they fall away because they're listening to the lies of the world and the lies that Satan is putting out there on what is right and what is wrong and what is fun. And but God's mercy still reaches out to all people to do what? And that was the question I kept asking, to do what? And that's to bring us unto repentance. It's not that repentance is one of those things that you just make up your mind you're going to do. We're drawn. And God puts us even in process, and I never realized this when we're out there, where at some point we're going to come back around. And I had in my life several points where I ended up back at the cross, and then I'd still fall away. And I was back at the cross, and I'd still fall away. And I was back at the cross, and I'd still fall away. And God still had mercy, still had grace in my life, was still reaching and drawing and manipulating things in there. And I believe a lot of it had to do with prayers from Blog Talk Mom, where she just would not give up on me. And there were other people in churches that just would not give up, and they kept praying for me. So that's what I wanted to share before I get out of here. I just pulled up at work, and I'm almost late, but we're going to turn it back over to you, Starla.
Well, that was a fine testimony. It's amazing how God works. God is. We were talking in Sunday school about what God is to us. And God is so many things to me, but most of all, God is my Redeemer, because he has had to redeem me. I mean, the things of this world can grab a hold of you and hang so tight. And God is my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my Healer. But God is my Redeemer. and I love him so much. And he did have mercy on me. Hog Talk Mom, you have something for us?
I agree. I've just been listening to what Wild Bill and then what you were saying, because the redemption, Keith Green has a song that he sings, and I try to listen to it just really often, because our Redeemer takes, the illustration I have in my mind is if you take something to a pawn shop and you sell it out, you know, for whatever, it might be a really nice, wonderful piece of gold, and then you can't get it back. You know, you're already broke, and you can't get it back because you can't pay the interest and whatever, and then you all of a sudden get this windfall, and you can go in and you can redeem it, and you can get it back. And we were sold in sin. We were just bound, and then the interest was getting, you know, we were, like Wild Bill was saying, we were paying more and more and more for our sins, more and greater consequences for our coming to God and then going away from God. And we wanted him to help us. We wanted him to get us out of whatever mess we were in. We knew he had the power to do it, but we didn't want to live for him, and we didn't want to really be changed. We really didn't want to be set apart for him. And then that redemption, that part that comes in and keeps on keeping on, it doesn't, he holds on to us, and he's just not going to let go. And this may sound silly, but I got this little dog, and we've got this toy that he plays with, and I mean, he'll hold on to that. I think he'd let his little teeth be pulled out. He's not going to let go of that. You know, God has got he's got a hold of us, and he holds on. And through the stubbornness and the rebellion and all of the times, and then he brings us, redeems it, brings it back. And sometimes, at first when I was living for God, I couldn't really think about the past because I had so much guilt and there was so much pain attached to it. And the enemy would use it to accuse me and beat me down. But as I grow older in the Lord and I can look back and I see how the Lord redeemed those things, how he was there all the time, like the song. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line, just waiting for us to turn to him. Just do that. You know, just look up, like the Dead Sea and all of that junk. Just look up, and it's life. There's always, I tell you, the one thing about this Blog Talk Radio program, the anointing is present. And I do want y'all to be encouraged. These 2 weeks, I know that it went a different way. And if nothing else, we can tell everybody to upgrade, but be careful how they do it, I guess. They told me that it had to be 8.1 for it to be consistent, not to go to 2007 or what. But I know they know how to put different software. I'm talking totally out of my. I know how to use a computer, but I don't know how to do the other things with it. But I wanted to share a song, the words of a song that the first time I heard it, I think I was at a revival. I know I wasn't totally surrendered to the Lord, and someone sang this song. That a beautiful man. He had a beautiful voice. And it starts off, the name of the song is Follow Me. And it starts off, it's the person saying, I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were oh so weary upon the Calvary's road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. But be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Then it goes back to the person saying, I work so hard for Jesus. I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Then he says, oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can my glory see, I'll take my cross. I'll follow close to thee. And I love that because it just so goes along with the book about tracks of a fellow struggler. If we will go in our struggle to the most beautiful picture in the God could, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And there's another scripture. I don't mean to, maybe someone's got their hand raised. I don't want to take too much time. Go ahead, Sister Starla.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
There's a scripture that's familiar, and I guess I quote it almost any time I pray. It's in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we love the picture of mounting it like a beautiful eagle, rising above whatever pain, whatever circumstances. Oh, we're waiting on God. We're rising above that. But then he goes on and he says, you know, they can run and not grow weary. So there's some things, you know, we want to be busy and running around doing what God wants us to do, but then walking one step at a time. Yeah, that's when we're walking through grief. We're walking through disappointment. We're walking through heartache. You know, it's just one step at a time. But God is with us and wants us to know that he's going to be with us no matter what we face if we will let him. He desires that intimacy to bring us through our struggles so that everything that we do, back to Romans, everything, all things work together for our good if we love the Lord and if we're the call according to his purpose. C.S. Lewis has some of the most awesome books that I've ever read. And I think when he became a Christian and then his wife passed away, he was, close to 50 when he married. And she got cancer and she died. It was 3 years, I think, after they were married. And he wrote in one of the books that I'll think of the title of it in a minute. But the point of it was we miss the beauty of suffering. We miss the beauty and the glory of the things that we walk through that are not good, that are not pleasant. And I don't want to do that. I want to be totally open to God revealing that Job did. I'm reading the book of Job this week. Though God slay me, yet I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. We've got eternity, and God is redeeming everything. He came out of that grave. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And he did it so that we can also live with him eternally and enjoy the beauty of eternity, and that all of the suffering that we've seen and we've witnessed and it's all around us will work for our good. What a promise. What, even this tonight, I have felt so encouraged just listening to what Wild Bill was saying and what you were saying, Sister Starlet, and the acknowledgement of the testimony that Wild Bill gave, because there's that, there's those, I talk to people all the time that they've been in church and they're out, they're in church and they're back out. But God, I don't believe that you leave him. Just, you know, people think that they come to the church, to the altar, and then they walk out and they leave the Lord. I believe he goes with you. And you may not acknowledge him. You may embarrass him or whatever, grievous him, but he's there. He's always there. His eyes are upon us, and he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And I love y'all, and I do so appreciate this program. So I'm going to hush for a minute, if I can.
Well, we do appreciate and love you so much, and you contribute, everything that you contribute to this broadcast is just so amazing to me, and I honestly, I could not do it without you.
Well, that would...
I'm sorry?
That would be fun, wouldn't it, Sister Starla? I think you'd start preaching.
I don't think so. I think there'd be a lot of dead air.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, if we have anybody that like to make a comment or ask a question, this would be a good time to do it. Anything you'd like to share, or anything you'd like to share that God's done, or anything exciting? Well,
I want to give the scripture that I was didn't say it correctly a while ago. It's in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. It's verse 30 and 31. It's, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So whatever we're going through at whatever stage, God has a plan and a purpose in that. I thought that was very good. This is a very good book. Again, it's very small. You can get it at Amazon. It's Tracks of a Fellow Struggler by John Claypool. I hope you don't mind me but sharing it, because it's just, it's excellent. If you know someone that's going through grief and loss, I would recommend you maybe sharing this with them.
Well, Wild Bill is out there. I don't know if he has something that he'd want to share with us again. He really is. He's our Sunday school teacher at church, and he really does an amazing job. He does the adult Sunday school class, and the insight that he has with some things I really, I don't know, I might do it differently, but when it comes around, I understand what it is that he's trying to do and what he's trying to come across with, and it's really, really interesting. And I love how our small group, we can just, we're very casual, and there's a lot of input. And so it isn't just a Wild Bill teaching, it's more of a group setting, so we all have input. And it's really interesting. You really learn a lot about God, and you really learn a lot about each other and what God's doing in our lives.
Tell everybody in that area where the church is, if you'd like.
Well, we are a little church in Nolensville, Tennessee. the Sanctuary of Nolensville, and we're on Industrial Boulevard in Nolensville, Tennessee, right smack dab in the middle.
Is there a church phone number?
No, I think it's just the pastor's cell phone. I don't think they have a church phone. But we do have a website, and all that information would be on it. It's the Sanctuary of Nolensville. And you can get that on Facebook or on the website.
I hope to visit soon. I really enjoyed the service. I thoroughly enjoyed the music, and Brother Lee's ministry was excellent. And if anybody's in that area that likes to work in home missions work, I love it. Everybody is, like you mentioned, you feel so much a part of it. And you share in your Bible studies and studying the Word of God in Sunday school and then in church. I love home missions. I love my church. It's not really huge, but everybody here is active, and we're all doing something, visiting hospitals, going to nursing homes. There's just so much to be done, and I like to stay busy. I think it keeps you grateful when you go and you work and you touch other people's lives. It fills your own life with gratitude. And I may have shared this last week, but the Lord has dealt with me to read through the Bible starting in October. I read somewhere that you could read through by 30 minutes a day. You could read through the entire Bible in 3 months, October, November, December. So I'm not a very fast reader, and I'm always had a tendency to study. I would read something and then get really interested in it and begin to search through the Bible, other scriptures, and I'm sure I've read straight through. I can't believe that I haven't, but this time I'm seeing things I've never seen before, and there's been an intimacy with the Lord that I've never experienced before. Now, to say that I have not, definitely filled with the Spirit of God and love the Lord, and I love the Word of God. I love studying the Word. But this time it's like he and I are just having our own little, I don't know how to explain it. To try to put it in my terms is going to make it sound something that it's not. But it's a beautiful thing. And I'm seeing his, redemptive work all the way from the time he said, "Let there be light," Genesis 1:1, just the redemption. He is a redeemer, and he set out to be. He knew we couldn't do it. He knew that, and so he's got it. He's got it covered. He's got our back. You just go to him and trust him. And I think if once we have that personal, I guess that's what I'm feeling, is such a personal connection with him and his word. He is the Word made flesh. There's so many scriptures like that. And when we learn it firsthand, so many times, Sister Stala, we've heard, we've read books about certain things. We've heard it from the pulpit. But when you go through it, just go right through it yourself, it's firsthand. And you just stop and you say, "Lord, I'm not following that." It's just right there. He begins to bring it together, connect the dots, and I'm so thrilled for that. It's exciting, very exciting. And it keeps you from going a lot on feeling. We as human beings want to go on feeling. If we feel right about it or we feel good about it, but that's not necessarily true, because we can be deceived. One of the things that came out to me was the fact, and I guess I knew this, but that the Israelites, every time they strayed away from God and they would begin to make all kinds of idols and they would build what was called the high places. And here they were God's people. They were brought out of Egypt. They were to follow him. They had his plan, right? I mean, nothing could have been more definite than the plan of the tabernacle and how does the Levitical priesthood was supposed to go about everything, the high priest. But they would go their own way. And even when they would turn back to God, it was usually because they were about to get killed. You know, the Moabites, the Amalekites, whatever, was going to come in and kill them. And so they would fall on their face before God, and they would cry out to God. God would hear their cry. He would save them out of their dilemma. That's a whole lot of what Wild Bill was saying. But they wouldn't completely get rid of certain things. The high places, the groves. And so when I studied that out in my mind and in the Word of God, and I'm sound like I'm lying that I was going to go straight through, but I mean straight through and understand with understanding. It was the wisest man on earth, Solomon, that's where he let the high places remain because of his strange wives. In other words, they were from other beliefs and had other gods, and then he offered sacrifice to those gods. So that what that spoke to me is just lively. What are the high places? What are the groves? What are the places? What other thing takes the place of 100% loving God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength? Is there an idol? Is there some other thing that would, he said, that God's words were that Israel went a-whoring after other gods. So we understand that concept in fornication, in marriages, but do we understand that that's how God looks at it when we go away from him and we don't trust him and love him? And I've asked him, I want to trust him completely with all of my heart and give him all glory and honor for all things, because he is God, and he is a jealous God. So I don't want to just ramble on that, but if anybody has a comment, I would love for somebody to speak up.
I think people are just really shy, and they just don't want their voice heard on the radio, I'm guessing, on the computer.
Well, we're coming back to the. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
We're going back seemingly each one of us to the thought of studying the Bible. You know, it's the one book that reveals the one God and has the one plan. And so, if we totally follow, back the thought that came to me about God wanting them to worship him, it was at Jerusalem. You know, it was where the tabernacle, where the temple was built later, where Solomon built the temple. And if we go to Jerusalem, we find out on the day of Pentecost that the message that was preached was Acts, the second chapter and the 38th verse. But all of that, all of Acts 1 and 2 is about that when if they would obey and go to Jerusalem, that they would receive power, that they could be witnesses, and that after Peter was preaching about Jesus Christ and telling them about this is the one, this is the one that our Messiah, and he tells all about Jesus, and he tells them, this, you crucified the Lord, this is who he is, then they were pricked in their heart, and he began to preach, well, repent. They wanted to know, what should we do? You know, we want to get back. We want to get rid of everything. We just want to serve him. And he said, repent. Turn back to the Lord. Turn back to God and be baptized in his name. What name? That name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And then those sins are redeemed. They're remitted. They're gone. And then God said, but it's going to be different now because I'm going to come and dwell inside of you, and you're going to be my temple. And that's why Paul taught us that we are the temple of God. Oh, that is so good. It just, when you read it straight through and you put it all together and you connect the dots, it's a beautiful picture of redemption. And it's all in him. Oh, I love the way John put it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to hush now.
No, you don't have to hush. That's good. God is good.
I love reading the Word of God. It's just, it is alive. You know, the Bible is alive. It is living, a living Word, so that when it comes into us, it makes us alive. It opens our eyes. We have the eyes of our heart. I used to pray, you know, the Lord, just open my understanding and let me hear what you're saying. Let me see what you're saying. And he does. He loves that kind of prayer. And we put work with the homeschooling, and I've had learning disabilities, let's put it that way, through my life, and so that's made me more aware of learning disabilities. And I've had degrees and different things. You know, Pastor Holland hates for me to tell what I'm about to tell, but I think when you walk through something and you are aware of it, then it makes you a better teacher, or it has me. And so I never could retain the creation. I couldn't remember what was done on the first day or the second day or the third day, and I knew that it definitely happened, and I could read it, but you can take your hands. Now, if y'all are listening, if there's a child listening, please pay attention to this. You can take your hands and you can put them together, just put them together like when you see people praying, and turn your hands sideways, and your thumbs, they're right next to each other. And when you just open them up, you know, just separate them, and you say, let there be light. So right at the very beginning, God said, let there be light. Remember that. Okay. And then the second day, your two fingers are together, and if you were to use them like a straw and go like that, you'd be getting air. So on the second day, God gave us air. It was a firmament. He separated it so we have oxygen. On the third day, if you hold your hands together straight up, the middle fingers are higher than the rest of them. So on the third day, out of that water, God said, let land appear, and it came straight up out of the water. The land appeared, and out of that came all types of shrubberies and trees. Are y'all with me now? Sister Charlie,
I'm with you.
Okay.
I think that's good.
First day is light. Second day is air. Third day, the land came up out of the water, and there was trees and bushes and whatever. And then put your hands together, and when you take the little weak finger, and you sort of open it up at the knuckles, it looks like a star. So on that day, God made the stars and the moon and the sun and all of those things that we have to have. Without the moon, there would be no, we wouldn't have any of the things that we just thought it was just up there to reflect the sun, which is a great thing. Gravity, we wouldn't have gravity. It has a big part in that. And then we know the beauty of the sun. If it was any farther away, we'd freeze. If it was any closer, we'd burn up. So God knew what he was doing. And then on the fifth day, you turn your hand sideways and you separate your little fingers and you make the top one wiggle, and that's the fowls of the air. And you make the bottom one wiggle, and that's the fishes in the sea. So you got what was made on the fifth day. The sixth day, God made man. Then he made woman, and then he made all of the land animals, and on the seventh day he rested, but he wasn't tired. Now that's my lesson to anybody, any teacher, because everyone I've ever taught that to, they remember it. And so I share that because the Word of God is so beautiful. And if you put that in a child and he knows that God, in the beginning, God created all things, Oh, he is marvelous. And he knew exactly what he was doing. Some people say, oh, well, man was, he was a monkey and he was a baboon or whatever. He came out of a slimy little whatever in the middle of the water. But if you can just know that Adam was created with the appearance of age. He didn't come from anything. He was created in the image of God with the appearance of age. So was this world. It was created with the appearance of age. And now I've given my lesson on creation. All goes back to the word of God.
Yes.
All of this has been so real to me this week.
You're an excellent teacher.
Well, my daughter compliments me on that and makes me so happy. She helped me when she was growing up. She made my class. She just made it. She just knew how to encourage me in different illustrations and object lessons. And so because of that, that's what I've always used, no matter what. I use PowerPoint. So if anyone is listening, if they would like a 74-year-old woman to come and teach, you can call me, and I'll be glad to come share my PowerPoint. I went to North Carolina and had a wonderful time. Those were wonderful people, too. At some time or another, I would love Madison Drew is the young, I think he's 18 or 19 years old. He's a marvelous preacher. And if Wild Bill would like for him to come on and maybe share something from the Word of God, because he was very helpful when I was there at their church. He told the story about how he wanted to play the guitar and he really wanted to get into music. So he had just saved enough money to get the guitar. He was working. He had enough money to the particular guitar he wanted. And so Brother Drew asked him, said, "Have do you have enough money if you pay your tithe?" And he said, "Well, no." But so Madison prayed about it, and he decided he would pay his tithe and wait on the guitar. And I don't know if it was that particular Sunday, but a lady in the church said, "Madison, I have something for you. I've been meaning to bring it." And it was an unbelievable guitar. With the case, it was much more than Madison would have ever thought about being able to buy. And she gave it to him free. And when he picked it up, the anointing came on him, and he was able to play without a lesson. He played the guitar. And then he turned
that
and he could play
so
the
piano.
It is good. I mean, he's got a testimony.
Man.
Fantastic young man. It's really, they have a new church there. Anybody in the North Carolina area, the name is Brother Drew is a pastor, and I believe it's the Lighthouse. I should have looked that up, but that is a wonderful church. Wonderful, wonderful people. Great move of God. There's churches everywhere. If anybody wants to get involved, you will never be sorry. I've got something to read, Sister Starla.
Okay.
Since my son is having a birthday, November the 6th, and I sent him a card, but I found this card, and I'm going to send it hopefully tomorrow. It says, "For you, son, with love and pride on your birthday." It's always meant so very much to have a son like you, a son to love, enjoy, respect, and I feel so proud of, too. That's why these special wishes for the things you're dreaming of are filled with joy, with warmth and pride, but most of all with love. Happy birthday, and have a good year.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I guess the Lord knew I needed to really be, I needed this program all for myself.
I think you've done really good, really good. We have Wild Bill with us.
Plus, what if they thank you so much for the card? I really enjoyed the first card. Birthdays were so much more fun whenever I was interested in cars, Batman toys, Superman toys, what they are now. People ask me what you want for your birthday. I'm like, man, I wish you'd get me going back to being 35 again and knowing what I know now. But it just doesn't seem to work that way. And then, like I've shared before, sometimes you think you get to know him so much, and then just another voice reminds you of sometimes things you forget. You get to look at things with other people. So I really enjoy what you're sharing about reading the Word of God. It's funny, we're covering a little bit different direction in our Sunday school class, because they hand out those bread charts at the beginning of each year to read the Bible all the way through. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, you just get to reading, but you're not really comprehending what you're reading. And then you get to hearing ministers play full different scriptures out in different places. They're building a flow for a thought, but then many times you're missing the context of the scripture. And, you know, like where we went back and was looking at the man that touched the tabernacle, I mean, for years, that power has been calling. I just really came out to see, and this guy was trying to do a good thing. But then when you realize that it had started, the whole thing with God before them, where he was upset, where they took something that was meant to be holy and protected, and something that you hold as something of great, great effect in your life, and you put it on the altar, and that wasn't what was supposed to happen. The priest were supposed to carry that on their shoulders. The priesthood, the minister, was to show honor to the presence of God. And God draws lines in the sand, and he says, it's enough. And you can read that all through the Bible, where, I mean, you look at the people in the wilderness, man, how many times did they remember and complain? I mean, just about everything that happened, they remembered and complained. I mean, they got to the point where they were murmuring with Moses, you know, who made you boss? Who put you in charge? And I thought he said all this last week. But it just really hit me how, you know, when it came time to where they could talk to God, like, how? You go ahead. You go on up there. But even there, God allowed the ministry to establish boundaries. He told Moses, you go out there and establish the boundaries for the people of today when you come up in my presence. And there's something very powerful with understanding the power of the ministry, the authority of the ministry, and what goes along with that is having respect for the ministry. Things to, in this day and time, to have fallen away to be so different than what it was meant to be. But yet, later on, they get some murmurs complaining, but after God opens up the ground, follows the boat up. He's like, this is enough. I'm going to line in the sand. And so many times, we want to take a point of scripture that we just preached over and over and don't really have an understanding as to what it is. And in my own life, that has got to where it's grieved me to want people to look at the actual scripture. And we've talked about this before, the power of God's word is what he said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Where he spoke things to an existence that never existed before because of the power and might that's in our God, the wisdom that's in our God. And in all that, the wisdom and knowledge and everything that he has, that he picked us to love, made us the pearl of his creation, let us know that he put value on us. And he made a way of escape for something that he didn't do, that we put into our own life. And like Bartolf Mom says, I feel so blessed sometimes with this show. There are times where I think that I ought to go ahead and shut it down, and my time is just so short at home. I get, you know, things like weary and, you know, other things in my life. And I love what you share with that guy with the guitar, because when I got the drums, I can tell you right now at our church, there's a whole church of people playing. It anoints me to where I can learn to play drums. So, but right now, I'm the only drummer they got. And, you know, all I can do is the best I can do, but I want to do more. I want it to be more anointing. And I pray God to add to what I do to make it worth a blessing for everyone there. Because I understand that it's all about worship. It's all about praise to God. It's not about me being edified because I'm an awesome drum player or something like that. And it's all about setting and establishing an atmosphere for people to be so comfortable to praise and worship God. But in all that, it's still a personal thing. You know, each person, a lot of what they put into the relationship with God is what they're going to get out of it. The faith they put into it is what they're going to get out. The lack of faith they put into it limits the things they're going to get out of the relationship with God. It's just like we understand we have to have oxygen to breathe without gravity to float off into space. You know, we know those things can be true. But how many things in there when it comes to the things of God that we don't have established that much of a firm assurance in our heart and in our mind? We say the word, to read over the words, but we haven't really taken time to plant those words in our heart. And that's what God's really been pushing me to want to help our class to do. Because we have people from all walks and all different places on their path of walking for God. And so I want to try to establish that now to know that if my words may mean something to me, that they don't mean to somebody else. But God's word is one of those things that is going to mean what God wants it to mean in each and every life according to their need and to his purpose. We don't like putting that part in his purpose. We like that part where it's to our need. But when we put those two together, we understand that our need, what's missing in our lives, is to do the work for his purpose now. And later on, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where we get to reign with him for eternity, to where there's going to be nothing like what we know here up there. We think we know, but we really don't. Where what we think is fun now, we're going to look at later, and it's not going to be so fun. Just like the thing with getting a Superman for you. If I got a bunch of remote control cars now, it'd be kind of neat for a couple of days, but I really don't have time to enjoy it. I'll buy drone those things. I understand that there's other things that has more value in my life. And it's the same thing with living for God. We have to set our priorities and understand that, yeah, those things were fun at one time. That part of it was good for them. But we need to move on. We need to take more. We need to grow to a different maturity than what we've ever had before. So, and I want to encourage people. I know most of our people listen in the archives, and I thank you so much for the emails that people send out or the messages on the blog page telling us how much they really enjoy the show, especially the brothers and sisters that are in foreign lands and our military that's still deployed in foreign countries. You know, we really appreciate that, but if there's any way possible, we would love to hear your insights and your input to the things we're talking about on the show. Maybe there's something that we could go into a topic of that you would like to hear about, and you may just want to tell us about it as we get started, and then at the end, you can make your comments or ask questions, because this is a show that was designed for people like we're doing right here to be able to interact with each other, talk and fellowship, and to lift up God with their own voice in different ways. And I have times where people say things on this show that sometimes it shocks me what they say when they first say it. I probably don't respond very well. Or sometimes my brain is totally locked in on a different part of what they're saying, and I apologize for that. But we do care to hear what's in your heart and in your mind. Because I always say this, we only grow when we get outside the box, and we can feel what other people are feeling, and we can know how other people are thinking when we look at things. Because whether I like it or not, this is not my time or generation anymore. This is not all about my age group and what's going on in this world. That time has moved on for me. And so with that, knowing that and that being said, I have to be very careful to make sure that I don't lock in on things that were and think that that's things that now, because it has changed. And it's so easy for me to look at the things that are different, that are bad, and say, wow, man, things are getting bad. I don't understand how things could get any worse. But sometimes there's some things that are happening that are not so bad, that are positive, that are good, and some of the knowledge that's going on that can really exemplify some of the things of God that we may be missing, and she can share something and enlighten us in a way that we may not even be aware of. So we look forward to people doing that, and I love the emails and the messages, but everybody else out there in Block Talk Radio Land don't get to hear that. So I know the first time you called in, it's like you're having a heart attack, like, man, I hope they don't push my button and put me on. But when you push number one on your phone, you're not actually live until we give you your phone number. And just like we say on our face, it's
Well, Blog Talk Mom, did you have something else you wanted to share with us?
I appreciate what Wild Bill was talking about. And when people, I don't guess I sound like I'm nervous, but a lot of times my mouth gets real dry, and you know, you're talking to a telephone. It is difficult, but if everybody'll just go ahead and try, because I know you're listening, and you think, well, I don't have anything to say, but you do, because you're important. And what you think and what you feel is important, and it will reach out to somebody where maybe nobody else would be able to touch their life. There's one of the things that then while Bill was talking about the power of the Word of God, there's a scripture that's always, when the children were really small, they were just very, very small, and they learned the little song. The wise man built his house upon the rock, you know, and the floods came down. That's one of the rap songs that I made also. But the scripture actually says in Matthew 7:24, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And if you look at those scriptures, And it goes on to say, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And there's hearing, you know, there's, if he's mentioning there, it's not just the fact that God has said it, but that we hear it. And not only do we hear it, but we do it. And then there is the act of building upon the rock Christ Jesus. And then he says in 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, to be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If we apply those scriptures, Sister Starless, to right now, this day, this evening, right this very moment, we're building, all of us. I mean, we're building. We're either building on the rock Christ Jesus or we're building on the sand. And we're all going to have storms. We're all going to have the winds of adversity come against us and beat upon us. We're all going to have that. The difference is if we build our life, if we hear his word, and we follow that, then we will stand. We will not fall. And if we don't, we will fall. And so it's the straight way that leads to the Lord, the straight and narrow way of listening and building on the rock, or the broad way that leads to destruction. And God is right here with us right now. If there's anybody that would be listening and you feel like you need God, and I talked to a lady today that had been on every kind of drug. She'd been a dancer and a one of the worst kind of dancers in these clubs, very, very horrible, and just despair. She fell on her face, and she said, God, if you're there, I need to hear from you. And about that time, three people came. She had no idea they were coming. And they told her about Jesus Christ. She came to church. She's a wonderful preacher now of the gospel, one of the most dynamic people that I've ever met living for God. So he is. He's real. And he's wanting you, every one of us, to reach up to him and let whatever disasters come into our life, let it be strong, let it give life, let it be more than we could ever dream it could be. And I'm back to the story of the Dead Sea. If you feel like there's nothing, that's not true. There's life. And God said, I will give you life and give it more abundant. Reach up and call upon his name, that lovely name of Jesus, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Sister Starla, I just wanted to share that.
Well, that was awesome. That is so good, and I appreciate the things that you share with us, things that God has given you. It's really a blessing, and a blessing to those that listen, I know. And I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the program. And if there's not anybody that wants to share anything, we have Wild Bill again. Wild Bill?
Well, are you there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to reach out to Blog Talk Mom, see if she could reach out to Joy Bells. I know in the month of November she goes into the Nahorama or whatever it is, and if she would like to share with everyone what that's all about. I think there's something very good in taking pen to paper or fingers to computer keys, since they have time, I guess, and, you know, putting thoughts down into a story. I won't ever forget one time I was in counseling, and when I was in law enforcement, they used to teach us that a lot of times you can get people to draw a picture, and from that picture you can tell a lot about what's going on in someone's life, how different things are affecting them. And so your word can be the same thing. It can be a picture that you make of your thought process and get over it. So if she'd be interested in coming on and sharing that with us, we'd love to have her do that.
Well,
I think I lost everybody.
No. We're still here.
When you say something, all of a sudden nobody says email. Like, well, I guess that went over like a whip balloon. Go on with the next chapter, next verse.
No, well,
I think that's
that
a really
wonderful.
Good idea.
It is. And that's how I wrote my book, The Woolly Worm. And because Doorbells was telling me about NaNoWriMo, and it was just an opportunity for me to spend that November. I think it was sickness or something. And NaNoWriMo is awesome. I wish Joy would tell about it and encourage people, because it's the best I've ever heard to get people started.
Yeah, it's a good structure with the program from what I remember she shared with me before. And so it'd be great to hear. And also, the ladies that came on before that we had so much fun with, they wrote the Christian romance. They should be coming up with almost finishing their next project, and so we would probably get them on again pretty soon. Some of them were scared to death, and they kept laughing at each other, which made it just so much fun to listen to the process. But I think we'll have them on again here pretty soon. And there again, anyone that's got something they'd like to share or something like that, we'd just love to have you come on and share maybe you like saw just whatever it may be. So, but I did want to say that, you know, don't reach out there. I don't know, she may be listening right now. I know she listens a lot during the time that she don't share talking. She was the one that thought up the whole process to put through the Blog Talk Show in the first place. So this was from the creation of her mind that all you guys have to put up with us every week.
Yeah,
okay,
we got a lot.
we
did thank her. That was good. The book and the Blog Talk Show. I love this program. I do thank you for it so much.
Well, thank you. So if you don't have anybody else that's got anything to say, would have thought I came into work and my buddies are like, "So you couldn't get into work again, could you?" And I'm like, that wasn't very nice. But anyway, if you got anybody else that's got something they'd like to share tonight on what's been said, we'd love to hear what you have. If not, Carla, why don't you just go ahead and close the mic.
Okie dokie. We want to thank everybody for listening this week, and we'll see you again back here next week at your place. Good night.